gentlemen, the world's greatest wild beast circus welcomes you one and all. We present tonight a feast for your eyes, unsurpassed by any in the Empire or without it. The most ferocious of beasts, the most death-defying...
I'll tell you straight, Jimmy, I don't think I can stick this much longer. How many times have we heard this, Mrs. Rhonda? Hey,
try not to think about it.
No. But who can put up with that swaggering bully day in, day out?
I can, Leonardo.
Well, you have to. But I'm not his wife.
Can't his money buy your loyalty?
No, only our bodies and souls.
But you of all people should ask.
The main shaking devourer, Dan Lyon. That's my cue.
Now, one day soon you'll find you're the only act left on the bill. You know that.
Do you think yourself strong enough to break free of him, Leonardo?
Strong? Oh, yeah, he's the strong man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe one of the animals will do for him first.
Sad thing, though. Strong man's all he is.
The Veiled Lodger by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Roger Daines. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Harriet Walter as Eugenia Rhonda and Douglas Henshaw as Leonardo. The Veiled Lodger.
Mrs. Marilow.
Albert.
What's it to be then this morning? Extra quart? Because I know when you have a lodger in, you want a little drop of milk extra for his tea, don't you? Over and above.
Oh, any excuse to drum up a bit more business, that's you, eh?
No, but you see, if the milk don't get drunk, what then happens to the poor cows? It's a social duty.
Well, it happens. I'll have to disappoint them, Albert, and take a quart as usual. Here. Seeing as how my new lodger is so ladylike as to take her tea weak without milk.
I hope you don't start that too as a habit, Mrs. Marilow. Put me out of business, that will.
Albert! Oh, Jack, what is it?
God!
It is indeed a surprising story.
So, in the end, it was me suggested coming to you, Mr. Holmes.
That was well thought of, Mrs. Merrillow. But I wish to make it clear now. I have no intention of coming alone to South Brixton.
Was someone out for your blood, sir? Some criminal murderer?
No. You'd be perhaps too much influenced by sensation of the kind with which my friend Watson panders to the public.
Oh, it's no, sir. The newspaper.
Oh, the press. I've read only one true statement there in my life, and that was a mistake.
Holmes?
Ah, but someone's found its man, I see. Come in, my dear fellow. And bid good morning to Mrs. Merrilow of South Brixton.
Mrs. Merrilow?
My friend and colleague, Dr. Watson.
Doctor? Good day to you, sir.
If you wish to indulge your filthy habits, Watson, Mrs. Merrilow has no objection to tobacco.
No, none at all, Doctor.
Yeah, just as well. I could smell the smoke-laden atmosphere from the street.
Oh. Mrs. Merrilow has something of an interesting story to tell.
Well, anything I can do, you know.
You'll understand, madam, that I should prefer to have a witness.
Well, certainly, if you say
so. And you'll have to make your lodger understand that before we arrive.
Oh, Lord bless you, sir. She's that anxious to see you. You might as well bring the whole parish at your heels, so long as you come.
Good, good, good. Well, I should like to go over the facts once more, to be certain we have them correct, and to acquaint Watson here with your peculiarly secretive lodger.
I'm all ears, Mrs. Merrilow.
Well, it's like Mrs. Rhonda said, sir. From the very moment when she first walked through my door...
Privacy, Mrs. Merrilow. That is all I wish for. And I'm more than ready to pay for it.
Well, thus the situation may prove pleasing, ma'am. Set back from the road as we are.
Yes. More private than most. That is how it must be. You have no other lodger?
No, ma'am. I only ever take the one, ma'am. And I've no family now since my old Matthew passed over.
Your husband?
Widowed now.